5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I won't deny it, I'm a straight rider. You don't want to love me. Got the police busting.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects back with 1 hour to go in the big show. Yeah, we teased you a little bit with an interview that actually turned out to be still a very good interview and a lot of fun. So to make up for it, we're also going to give you a Hall of Famer. And we're not kidding this time. Kevin McHale's going to join us to talk about the Kyrie Irving trade and a whole lot more. So without further ado, the coach, the Hall of Famer, the former GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Kevin McHale, from the deep woods of up north in Minnesota. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
All good. We've missed you.
Yeah. You know what? You got to take a little break, though. You know, then absence makes the heart grow fonder.
That's exactly right, Coach, and that's why my heart is beating just so fast right now. I know that even though you were up there in the cabin, you're good friends with Danny Ainge. You know that he's been trying to do something, and he continues to try and better that team. Your initial thoughts when you heard of the deal going down between the Cavs and the Celtics?
Yeah, you know, I actually thought it was probably a pretty good deal for both teams. I really did. You know, I mean, I think the Cavs were in a spot where they were going to have to move Kyrie. Bringing him back was just going to be a headache for everybody, I think. You know, you're not talking basketball if he goes back to Cleveland. You're talking about chemistry and everything else. That kind of is like an overriding issue the whole year. So they had to probably trade him. And I'm sure on their list of things they need was bring back an all-star, which they got in Isaiah Thomas. Bring back a wing defender, which they sorely missed last year in the finals against Golden State. They got that in Jay Crowder. Got a young big guy, and they got an opportunity for a good pick. So I think they did well. And I think when Danny got Tatum and Gordon Hayward this year, and Tatum in the draft and Hayward in free agency, they were really heavy at the wing spot. So, you know, if you could have told Danny that his roster would include Kyrie Irving and he had to give up, you know, Isaiah Thomas, who the fans love, in Boston, and Jay Crowder. That was a lot to give up, but adding Hayward and Tatum and Kyrie, I think that they're they're right up there with Cleveland as a team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
Coach, as a former GM, does it surprise you a little bit that what Cleveland was able to get in return since Kyrie kind of put them on the spot about asking to be traded?
Yeah, you know what happens when teams put you on the spot, and I've been in that spot situation before where guys said Steph Marbury didn't want to play with Kevin and started getting out a little bit, and he wanted to be moved, and so you have the bottom feeding GMs that call up and say, we'll give you a ham sandwich, you know, and that just makes everybody mad. And then you have people that call up and say, hey, we really want the guy. Because at the end of the day, what you're getting is Kyrie Irving. You're not getting the drama with he and LeBron or whatever issues they had in Cleveland. You're getting him. So it's how much you like him as a player. So I thought they would get good value. I didn't know if they would, I knew they had a list of things that they wanted. I didn't know if they were going to be able to get two of the three of the four, whatever list they had down there. But I think Cleveland did pretty well. At the end of the day, Kyrie's been a multiple-year all-star. He's been an all-pro player. He's won a championship, made big shots in the biggest of games. So, you know, you're getting Kyrie Irving at the end of the day, and it really just came down to how much, you know, you valued him, and you really, you took a lot of the drama and took a lot of that stuff out of the equation. I mean, the only thing that, and I'm sure Danny's investigated this carefully with his agent and everything else, is, you know, Kyrie can opt out and be a free agent after a year, so they hopefully, you know, that's a lot to give up. Boy, if you're talking about for 1 year, that's a lot to give up.
Yeah, I saw early indications that Kyrie said that he's interested in inking a long-term deal with the Celtics, so you hope that's true. But from a general manager's perspective, Coach, Kobe Altman, who took over on June 19th from David Griffin, probably did as good as he possibly could have in terms of everything the Cavs needed, because I said on the show earlier today, they're better suited to beat the Warriors now than they were in the finals last year because of the depth what Crowder brings to them. And then if LeBron skips town, as you mentioned, with Thomas becoming a free agent, you get all that money and you get probably a top five pick in the upcoming draft. That's pretty good to kickstart your rebuild if you have to go through that too.
Yeah, no question. I think he did a great job. I really do. I think that, you know, he got about as much as you were going to get. I can't see anybody giving any more. And at the end of the day, if someone had done a better deal, they would have taken it. They were not that concerned about making Kyrie Irving happy. They were trying to get the best deal they could get. You saw it was interesting when teams that finished 1-2 in the conference last year make a big trade, you know, the following year, just or the following summer. That's interesting. You don't see that happen very often. And, you know, I really think Danny feels his team's better. And I do believe, I think you're right, I think that Cleveland feels they're more prepared possibly to beat Golden State, which is, they're just dreaming, but at least they can dream. They're not beating Golden State.
Coach, would it surprise you if either one of these teams do more before the season starts?
Yeah, I just don't know how many assets they had to give up. I mean, you know, Boston gave up their big thing, which was the picks that they had acquired. They got another one, I know, in last year's draft by moving number one to number three and taking Tatum three. Maybe a minor thing. I just can't see them shuffling the deck that much. Well, unless, you know, if you're talking about a Carmelo Anthony or someone like that, those numbers are so hard to make happen, just because, you know, you've got to take contracts back, and everybody's trying to unload bad contracts. I just don't see Cleveland or Boston probably having that many more assets to pump around to move. I think Boston still needs another quality big man, so I think they're probably going to look for that. But they're hard to find, and you know, I would think that if you're Cleveland, you're pretty happy about having Jay Crowder on your team, but another wing defender wouldn't hurt at all, because when last year in the finals, I know we talked about it on your show earlier last year, when Ty Lue said we're just going to outscore him, I was like, ooh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, that's a bad move. You know, you've got to be able to defend those guys a little bit more. You can't get into a shootout with Golden State, you know, and I think you got to have some defenders, and you have to have a good defensive team and a good defensive concept.
Well, I was going to say, Coach, so he brought in Aaron Baines. When you're talking about a big man, he's serviceable, he's strong, but you lose Olynyk, you lose Crowder, you lose, I believe, between all the deals he's already made, you lose, I think it's something like three to five of the seven rotational players that he relied on a lot in Boston. I would think that Danny's really going to be kicking rocks and trying to uncover some kind of a gem, because it seems like he needs the depth. I think I agree with you, the Cavs are done, but I could see Boston still trying to figure some things out in terms of trying to add some depth somehow.
Yeah, he could add some depth. You know, the problem with that is that, to break into to Boston's rotation and get playing time, you're going to have to be a pretty good player. And just giving up those good players, it's hard. You know, I think, Danny, you know, a couple of years ago, I really liked Jay Crowder a lot when he was in Dallas. I thought that the kid could really be a nice player. They kind of got him. They took a flyer on Isaiah Thomas, who became gold for those guys, for the Celtics, you know, all-star, you know, playoffs. And, Avery Bradley, who left in a trade earlier this year, you know, he was a pick that really panned out. They had a lot of guys that kind of overachieved. And maybe there's another guy like that that Danny's got on the radar. As far as big moves go, I just don't know if they have enough assets to keep moving for a bigger a bigger name. But, you know, that's not to say he's not going to go out and sign five different guys and take a look at them in training camp. I think he'll definitely do that.
Last question before I let you go. Melo ends up a Rocket. Yes, no, maybe.
Ooh. I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened. I think that, you know, when Phil left, there was a change. I just don't know if they can make the monies work, or if Houston can kind of satisfy what New York wants. You know, New York wants money coming off. They, you know, they want some, they want a couple of players for them. So I just don't know if they can get it. I would say no. I'd say if it was going to happen, it probably would have happened already.
Wow, good stuff, Coach. Hey, enjoy the great weather in the Upper Midwest. We look forward to catching up with you again, but really appreciate you taking some time out of the day to catch up with us.
No problem, guys. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Coach.
Kevin McHale right there on the HRNP listener line. Always a great find when he is on with us. We appreciate him in the middle of his summer vacation taking some time with us. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the good people at American Wheel and Tire. I'm telling you right now, it's the number one place to go for custom wheels in Houston, from souping up a classy 69 Camaro to maybe you've got a new car or a fairly new late model car and you have a damaged tire or maybe dent or a scratch on a rim and you're being told you have to replace it. Well, before you do that, get in contact with my good friends at American Wheel and Tire, because Mike and Tammy Gust have owned and operated it for over 15 years. You know, Jason and Johnny and the guys at the front desk are going to treat you right, and they're going to be real honest with you, and they're going to tell you probably don't have to replace that rim. It probably can be buffed out and fixed. That tire probably isn't damaged beyond repair. But if you want to get new wheels and tires, it's also the place to go. They do everything right there in their shop while you sit comfortably in great furniture in front of big screen TVs with lots of refreshments, and they periodically will update you on what's going on with your vehicle. There's never anything to be left in the dark on. Never think anything where at the end of the day you feel like you've gotten the wool pulled over your eyes. They're honest. They want you to come back again and again. And they take care of you, the customer, like they have been here in Houston for over 15 years. And also check out what they can do to not only your truck, but your SUV or your car, to make it look totally different and completely cool and sporty in many different ways. You can do that at AmericanWheelAndTire.com. But go to 290 and 34th Street. You got anything to do with your wheels, your tires, or you're just looking for a lift kit or something to kind of fancy up one of your vehicles, they are the place to go see, because they have everything for you under one roof, and you're going to go there again and again. I'm telling you, American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street, or AmericanWheelAndTire.com.
ESPN 97.5. My block. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Oh my goodness, that was hilarious.
Did you just hit your...
Look, oh my God. Bam!
Oh, that was
did you
funny.
Hit your head on the TV?
If you heard a boom on the air, Barry had just snuck back into the studio, and I'm sure he didn't know where we were coming out of the break. So when I gave a little extra oomph on the back of the... Suspect.
Oh my God.
It scared Barry to the point where he
I was trying to hurry
his
back
head up and hit the corner of the television.
I was trying to hurry back to the TV. I was trying to turn this stupid AC off because it's so cold in here. And Joel screams, "Welcome back." And I was like, "Oh, I better hurry." Right into the TV.
Oh my God, did he hit that thing hard too?
Oh, I'm dizzy. I think I'm concussed.
It's a I'm gonna be like, possibility. I thought you were going to have like a gash.
Wouldn't it have been
head.
Hilarious if he just fell over? We were like, what are we going to talk about?
I'm going to get on the ground like Odell Beckham Jr. in the tunnel and just hold my head.
Yeah?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that hurt so bad.
Oh, that was funny. The way he just popped up and then, boom.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That hurt a little.
I would think so. Well,
I feel like I can't hear. Did you turn my headphones down or... Or am I just concussed a little bit? Wow. That wasn't good. We got some texts.
Go ahead.
Joel's literally crying.
I am, because
you
I
know
like,
what it is. He's glad
you were
going to
have
hurt
that
myself.
Kind of reaction.
He's glad I'm in pain.
How quickly he popped up, but then to hear that boom and see him go straight back down.
See if you could see. Could you hear it, Nick?
I heard it.
But I caught the tail end of it. I didn't actually see you
right in the corner too on my temple.
I didn't see the impact. It's really red right now.
Is it red?
And matter of fact, there might be a little bit of hair missing. Like there might be a little. Oh, it might be a wound.
Oh my God! A wound.
That was hilarious. Nick, you should go back and listen to it because I'm pretty sure over the air you could hear the boom.
Man down. Oh,
you were saying about text?
Yeah, we got a text that said when we were discussing. Well, first of all, we got a tweet when I was giving AJ the business about giving us the business. And Lenny, because I said AJ's that kid, the cousin that gets mad because he got socks and you got something cool.
Yeah.
He said, well, maybe if you're a better kid, you would get the better presents, says the guy who got his grandfather's bathrobe. So, yeah, shut up, Lenny. We don't need to bring up those old stories and use them against me. But somebody texted and said, AJ, I won't use the curse word, but he just said, AJ's unlikable. Unlike Fred and Jung. But AJ frequently kills their show. So see, guys, we're not the only ones that get hate text on here. AJ gets some. Fred gets some. I don't think Jong has ever gotten one in his life. Yeah. But
Nick, that's why
But I just want to say I support this one more than any of the others, only because AJ said we're a yeast infection.
Yeah.
So.
And this is his station.
The fact that you've gotten those hate texts means that you what would that be? You've made it. Yeah.
I guess.
If you don't get hate, if you don't have haters, that was what they say. If you don't have haters, you haven't made it.
Yeah. Now,
guys, we make it about 15 times a day. We know that much.
I'm making it more than a prostitute then.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of people just saying that we got them pretty good with the whole John Jones being on the show. All texting, no tweeting. Like, that was one of the greatest radio teases of all time. Good stuff. Mandy's back. You remember Mandy?
Yep.
She would text the show. She said, I'm so happy that school's back in. I have missed you guys. Mandy, welcome back. We heart you too.
Yep.
Yeah. She sent a little heart over. Barry, you fooled us. Otis Redding is my, sorry. It said, Barry, my favorite Otis Redding song is Tramp. What is yours?
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Is that yours? Dock of the Bay?
Yeah.
I would have to go Try a Little Tenderness.
That's a good one.
Followed by Dock of the Bay, followed by Tramp. That's my top three. I know you only asked for one, but Try a Little Tenderness that's my jam when it comes to Otis Redding. What else? Any other? I need advice. Number two overall pick in a 14-team league snake draft. That was from Fred. Pretty sure not Fred Fowler.
All right.
But Fred, I'll tell you this. I'll do you one better. We're not going to give you any fantasy advice right now. One, because I don't want to open up the phone lines to 8,000 fantasy questions, because we've got other things to get to, like Robert Lee and ESPN.
It's coming up.
But we've got something great for you planned for tomorrow, Fred. We've got Sigmund Bloom joining us at 2:30 to talk fantasy. It'll be our first installment of fantasy for the rest of the football season. So, Fred, I'm going to save your question, and it'll be the first one out of the chute for Sigmund at 2:30 tomorrow.
And Fred,
or you can call in or text tomorrow and ask.
And Fred, just so that we can get the best answer possible, give us the extra details on the league. Is it a PPR? You know, things like that, so that you can, so he can kind of decipher, you know, running back, receiver, quarterback based on scoring and league rules.
Yeah, and I think you guys are going to love Sigmund Bloom. If you don't listen to Houston Game Day on Sundays, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, Sigmund has been doing Game Day for years now, and he starts at 11:30, and he does those last-minute roster selections, but he's kind of rapid-fire. He doesn't get, you know, caught up in the weeds. He's just, you say, hey, I got second pick PPR 14, you know, who should I go for? And he's going to tell you. So it's I think you guys will enjoy that segment every week if you have fantasy questions. So tune in for that as well.
Got that. Looking forward to it. Yep. That should be great. Should he? I think Sigmund is actually drafting Nick's team in both leagues. So that's
on about
the,
that.
That's on
not
the,
mad at that.
Play.
That's cheating. He's willing to
I'm
going to
use the app again. Usually I have this like formula that I do to come up with my own draft board, which it's kind of in a way helps me prep because I kind of really go through it. But I'm getting kind of lazy, so I'm probably just going to use their Football Guys app to draft. I used it last year. It did pretty well for me. So.
Weak sauce.
Yeah, I don't really do a formula or anything like that either.
I'm just nerdy, though.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you're a fantasy guy.
Stop it.
If you're willing to keep up with a baseball fantasy team every single day.
Dude, you signed up for that.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get you to co-manage, and I failed. I thought I was going to convince you, and it didn't work.
I'm going to get some Tylenol to break.
You literally might please need some medical attention afterwards.
I need to go get...
All right,
I feel like I've got some swelling.
You think that there was
Have you ever seen Tommy Boy? When he hits him with the thing and he goes, do I have a mark? And he goes, not so much here as here. And his face is all swollen. That's what I feel like right now. Like Joel's like, no, it's not that bad, but I look like the dude from Mask.
No, it isn't that bad, but I need you to look at the fact that it actually removed hair.
No, I just have a weird hairline.
There's a bald spot there.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like caused by the corner of
Thanks
the TV.
Thanks for pointing that
You're
out,
welcome.
Though. Appreciate that.
All right. We got more to get
to. It made your nose big and hook. No, that's always been like that. Oh, okay.
Nick, you got to check that audio. That sounded like a one-car accident. All right. We got more to get to, so we're going to take a quick break, come back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hit the showers. Didn't need to get no static from the cow.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects with 30 minutes to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred Jong. And the guy that's never happy, AJ,
oh,
in the Blitz.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that show. No.
You're 80.
Are you playing all Tupac?
Just the second song. I have two Tupac songs.
I kind of feel like this has all been Tupac.
I kind of with you.
Yeah. This is only the second one, I promise.
Okay. A Tupac or Tupac?
Tupac.
Okay. Do you hate people that call him Tupac?
Yeah, if you call him Tupac, you should stop.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure.
I agree.
Speaking of names.
Mm-hmm. That was very professional.
Thank you. There's a gentleman by the name of Robert Lee. Okay? He is a multi-talented member of the ESPN broadcast staff. Okay? I don't know if you heard this story or not, but a source told CNN that he was supposed to do the University of Virginia's home opening football game. But he was removed by ESPN because of a sensitive matter, which later turned out to be that his name, Robert Lee, was too close in similarities to Confederate General Robert E. Lee. So they moved him to the Youngstown Pitt game and took him off the Virginia game. Isn't that a bit much?
It's stupid.
It is.
It is. It's the dumbest, most overly sensitive, ridiculous. I mean, I can't think of enough adjectives to describe how dumb this is. The dude's name is Robert Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
He's Asian.
Like, are we that sensitive? It's almost like they knew that they were dumb while they were doing it. Why do it then? You know what I mean? Like, the statement that they released was, quote, "We collectively made decision with Robert to switch games as the tragic events in Charlottesville were unfolding simply because of the coincidence of his name. In that moment, it felt right to all parties. It's a shame that this is even a topic of conversation, and we regret that who calls play-by-play for a football game has become an issue." You dumbasses, you made it an issue.
Yep.
If you would have left him alone, it wouldn't have been an issue. No one would be clamoring that there's an Asian guy named Robert Lee doing a Virginia football game. This is unacceptable. What? Like, I really feel like, and I tweeted this out in jest, but I think it would be hilarious if Duke cut every player named David. No David Dukes. Nope, not going to have it. Every one of them has to be cut now. I mean, that's how ridiculous this is.
You are funny. That was good.
That would be. It's the same thing, though, right? Like, you sound shocked.
You
like,
just got the blue check.
Like, you are funny.
You just verified your Twitter handle.
I just verified
it. Yes, you did.
It's silly, though. Like, really?
Well, and you know, for a lot of reasons, it is. But the fact that they tried to explain themselves to, what just mucked it up even more with ridiculousness. And then here's the other thing that you know happened. Because in the statement, they said mutually agreed upon. This guy's an up-and-coming broadcaster. He's taken anything they give him. If they come to him and say, hey, we got a problem, that's already, what can I do to fix it? But would you mind if we moved you, but you're still going to do a game, same time and everything, we're just going to move you to a different game. What are you going to say, no?
Yeah, because he just got hired in 2016. Yeah. So I'm with you. I think he'd be there
out
guy.
Here. What are they doing out here hiring these Confederate generals?
What?
You're not General Sean McDonough.
Like that's...
Or Mike Tirico. You're not one of those guys. You're just hanging on. You're just trying to get started. If they say, hey, we're going to have you do the elimination game, or I mean, I'm sorry, the consolation game in the Little League World Series, I'm going. You got it. Just where do I go in and where am I? Who do I see?
It's absolutely ridiculous to me that they listen. If you've listened to this show at all, you know that we've talked about some of these things that have been going on. We had an hour dedicated to what was going on in Charlottesville right after it happened. We've talked about other things. We've talked about Kaepernick. I think it would be safe to say I lean left. I don't think I'm left. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I think it's safe to say I lean left. This is way too sensitive for me. There's being cognizant of other people, uh-huh. and there's being sensitive to serious issues. Mm-hmm. Then there's just being stupid. Like, this is, unless something comes out where someone was just so offended that they couldn't see themselves going to this game because some dude's name is Robert Lee.
They're saying because the Robert E. Lee statue had been removed and it was such a big deal. And, of course, that they blame it on the fact that all of the different memes and things that are going to pop up on social media would make everybody involved look bad. They've gone way too far.
I feel like I could probably either Google or get on Facebook or even Twitter and type in Robert Lee. And it would be white dudes. There would be black dudes named Robert Lee. There would be Asians. Like, I just feel like this is Robert's a pretty common name. Yep. Lee is a common name, whether you're Asian or white or whatever.
Now,
like,
here's,
you know, it's thank goodness there was no, like, you know, John Smith that was a racist general, or everybody out there would be screwed.
And I'm sure ESPN's not happy, but a guy that we had on when we were on Radio Row, but there's mm-hmm. another Lee. Under the four-letter network.
Yeah.
And he had a great tweet today because ESPN anchor Bob Lee, who was there from the beginning, made light of his last name by tweeting, "Rather worried my employee ID pass may not admit me this morning. Life as scripted."
That is so
he
good.
He was worried. But it gets better because he then wrote, "ESPN will not broadcast games of any kind from Jackson, Mississippi, for fear it may honor Stonewall or Andrew Jackson and trigger someone."
He tweeted that? No,
actually, that was Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee.
Oh,
so okay. It got political. So Huckabee tweeted that. I'm sorry, after the Bob Lee tweet, he tweeted that, but then he followed it up with, "ESPN will no longer air football games on TV, as referees are actually dressed in black and white, and that could be viewed as binary racism."
Oh, boy.
Everyone getting involved. And, of course, our own Sean Salisbury chimed in with a couple. "I hope ESPN lets Bob Lee in the building today. I don't think anyone will be offended. Bob is a legend. You are safe, ESPN, on that one." and as only Sean can, I'm trying to quickly find the other one. But he had another one that was really a classic this morning. With this Robert E. Lee story, Sean put, "ESPN just took the pussification of society and made it their own. So when is the 30 for 30 coming out?" This That's is good. Despicable.
It's pretty silly. My quick review of Robert Lee on Twitter to yes. see if there are any non-white or Asian Robert Lees. There are. There's a gentleman, African-American gentleman, Andre Robert Lee. And he's a direct. He directs movies, so it's just silly to me. Like, are we all going to boycott his movies now because his name is Robert Lee? This is the most asinine. This is though. Again, it's and I'm not going to make this political, but when you say there's no problem, this is a perfect example of how there is a problem. It's just to what degree and to what you know what. It's people are so hypersensitive about this that this is what national. TV show, TV companies are doing. This is how sensitive they are about it. At some point, common sense has to take over. At some point, you would think.
But honestly, Barry, haven't you used that exact phrase way too many times in the past, say, 6 months?
Yeah.
At some point, common sense
has to take over.
Has to take over. And you keep saying it, and you keep hoping it, and it just doesn't happen. And the unthinkable becomes reality more times than not.
And I mean, he's Asian. That's what Lamont just said, Barry. Not just some dude named Lee, some Asian dude named Lee. Like, really?
Yeah, that's what I said right off the bat.
That makes
the
fact no that, yeah, sense.
It's like, seriously, regardless, that just takes it to another level, but it just shows how far off you were on this entire decision. Just stupidity.
Get your bleep together, ESPN.
Yeah.
This is dumb.
That's right. All right.
It can't be too difficult to, well, I mean, maybe now because it's, if the game, when is the game? Did they say, or was it already done or what?
No, it's coming up. I think it's next weekend.
So just change it back. Just be like, our bad. We realize now how silly this is.
I'll tell you what, they'd look
our
a
bad.
Lot, you're right. They would look a hell of a lot better to say, you know what? We overthought this.
Yep.
We're just going to do
we were erring on the side of caution, but sometimes you can go too far with it. We realize that we try. Please understand, we wanted to do the right thing. We see how silly this is, and it's unfair to Mr. Lee. So we're moving it all back. Our bad.
That would be the right thing to do, which means...
It ain't going to happen.
It ain't happening. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, wrap things up, then turn it over to the Blitz, so don't go anywhere. We've got one segment to go on the big show. So the usual suspects will be back with a whole lot more ESPN 97.5.
Oh, baby.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Nick.
Thank God that was the clean version.
You did well here.
Jeez, I was worried about that.
Lamont is killing it on Twitter with the Robert Lee memes. He's got Robert Lee's face on Robert E. Lee's body. He's got a picture of Robert E. Lee, the general, with the caption under it, Ho Chi Minh. He is killing it right now. Go follow Lamont at SportsMediaLM. Pretty funny stuff.
On fire.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Pretty funny stuff. I saw these articles. I wanted to run a couple of them by you before we wrap up the show. One of them has been out for a little while. Well, actually, both of them. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it because we haven't had a chance. This first one was from a couple days ago. It was the hidden gems on all 32 NFL teams. All right?
Yep.
So they wanted to go through and basically try to tell us guys that you may not have heard of that are the real gems of these teams. And I feel like they're reaching on a lot of this because as I look at the first page, for example, Buffalo Bills, Richie Incognito. How is Richie Incognito a hidden gem for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, look at his last name. Well,
that's a great point.
Great.
That was good.
It says Richie Incognito very well could have seen his NFL come to a career end in, you know, with the Jonathan Martin thing in Miami Dolphins, but he's experienced a revival in Buffalo in two seasons with the Bills. Incognito has appeared in and started all 32 games. So how is that a hidden gem? Like, he's a reliable starter.
He can start on multiple teams.
Yeah.
Easily. He could start on
totally
the team
agree.
That plays on Kirby.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense to me, but then they go on to say other guys like on the Dallas Cowboys, Sean Lee is a hidden gem. What?
Yeah, but there's a caveat there. Sean Lee now is being moved by ESPN to the CFL because he's not going to, just to be safe, they're not going to let him play with that.
Because of his last name?
Because of that last name.
But they even in this little blurb that they put, if he can remain healthy, he will continue to dominate. Then he's not a hidden gem.
Yeah, he's been around forever. He just can't stay healthy.
CJ Anderson, running back for the Broncos, hidden gem.
No.
Okay. Your Green Bay Packers, yes. Where do you stand on Joe Thomas, the linebacker, being a hidden gem for the Green Bay Packers?
He's played and sometimes started over the last couple of years.
Okay. This one I can kind of see, the Texans. And this is the one I really wanted to get to. Okay. I mean, some of the other ones are kind of egregious. But the Texans, I could see this, especially nationally. I think once you start to focus locally on your team, you know what I mean? Like, then this is, it would make less sense. You start to look at guys like, last year, AJ Bouye was a hidden gem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he proved. But they have Bernardrick McKinney.
I was just going to say, Bernardrick McKinney.
As the hidden gem for the Houston Texans. I get that. I mean, I kind of get that. He's not a dominant. He wasn't the dominant name on this team. I mean, J.D. Clowney coming up and doing his thing.
But he's on the rise. A lot of people have put him firmly on the radar as if to keep an eye on this guy because he could really explode.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then a couple of others.
I was surprised they didn't make it D-Hop.
Yeah, they have.
Well, but actually, in honesty, thanks to Brock, he was a hidden gem.
That's a great point. Yeah, they the only other one that I thought was kind of surprising that stood out to me, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The hidden gem on the Steelers?
Please don't tell me it was JJ's brother.
No.
Okay.
Chris Boswell, their kicker.
What? He's from Rice.
Yeah, Boswell is the hidden gem on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think the Buccaneers probably think so.
I feel like someone just had a deadline and was like, all right, yeah, Larry Brown Sports, here's our hidden gems then. Take this. Pretty interesting list. Yeah, so I found it on Larry Brown Sports. If you want to go look at it, it was on Monday the 21st. Just Google Larry Brown Sports hidden gems. I also found this. You and I had a running argument last year.
What was the discussion, Barry?
Was it? No. Yeah. Okay. I would say I would agree with that. But we went back and forth about the SEC and the dominance of the SEC.
Or lack thereof.
Yes. Yeah. And so I found this in support of you because you have been supportive of me with some baseball tweets and so forth. And so when I saw this, I didn't want to bury it. I didn't want to say it didn't happen. But there was a breakdown of CBS Sports that they basically ranked the conferences. And starting at the bottom, AAC was 6. The Pac-12 was 5. The what? Big 12 was 4.
For this year?
Yeah.
Doesn't that surprise, right off the top, doesn't that surprise you?
August, this came out August, well, this initial list came out August 18th. We just haven't gotten around to it on this show yet.
Okay.
But yeah, AAC is 6, yeah. Pac-12 is 5, Big 12 is 4, the Big 10 is 3, the SEC is 2, and the ACC is 1. So I feel like that now, I don't remember last year, I think you were saying that the Big Ten was the dominant one, and I think you could make the case for it at the end of the year so much more than you could at the beginning right. of the year. But the ACC is, according to this, the toughest conference. Mm. Agree, disagree?
I disagree.
Okay. Who would you put as number one? Would it be SEC, Big Ten?
I think to me it's easy. It would be between those two conferences. And you know, Ohio State's going to be dominant. Michigan's going to be, you know, in most people's eyes, very, very good. Wisconsin's already starting in the top 10. I think it's between the SEC and Big Ten. And Alabama always leads the charge for the SEC, and they're never bad. They're just down.
Yeah.
yeah, I think ACC's too high, and I would say, to be fair, probably SEC. All right, I'll give it to you. SEC 1, Big Ten 2.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think it's so funny how we flipped on this because I would go Big Ten first.
Okay.
And then I could see, I would say SEC second just because I think the depth of each right. team. Because when you get to the, you know, when you get into the ACC and you start looking at the bottom of the ACC versus the bottom of the SEC, so to speak, not that Vanderbilt's any great shakes or anything like that, but I think you start looking at quality of players. But when you look at just like the initial AP top 25. I mean, in the top 10, the Big Ten has three of those. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin all cracked the top 10.
Yep.
And so, I mean, you've got Alabama
yep.
from the Big 12. That's the only top 10 team in there. You've got Florida State and Clemson.
Where's LSU?
LSU is 13th right now okay. in the initial AP top 25. And then you've got Oklahoma State, and yeah, that's your Big 12 and then Washington.
See that for me.
So I feel like the Big 10 really with three, because that was my argument going into last year is if you looked at the top 10, top 15, yep. the SEC had the majority of the teams in the top 10 or top 15.
But I'm with you in the way it finished last year as to the way you were analyzing yeah. how it starts this year. I think LSU will probably finish higher. I think the SEC teams will finish higher by the end of the year in this particular year. That's why I think the SEC will be heard from later.
Okay.
More so.
Yeah. But
look, I love the Big Ten being first.
I mean,
the thing that surprised me about the Pac-12.
I pulled up 2016. Yeah. I mean, you had 4 Big Ten teams in the top 10 when everything was done. Clemson, yeah. Alabama, USC, Washington, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Penn State, Florida State, Wisconsin, Michigan. That was your top 10 as it finished last year.
Yeah.
So you still had 4 teams, and 3 of those 4 are starting the season at the top 10 again. So I could see the ACC even being third behind the SEC.
I totally agree.
I found that fascinating.
Is the ACC one team driven?
No, 2. I mean, Clemson and Florida State.
Yeah, I know Florida State for sure. But if Clemson's going to come back, even without Deshaun Watson, some of the guys they lost, Boulware, okay, we'll mm-hmm. see. But I think that, you know, you've got a little bit more guarantees with the other conferences. The one that surprises me the most is the Pac-12 fifth, too, because you got Darnold at USC, you got UCLA, and you got Washington, who's already in the top 25. I think they'd be a little higher.
Still not competing. I mean, I guess the argument becomes Big 12 versus Pac-12.
Pac-12 in that discussion. And yeah. I don't know that I'd sleep on the Pac-12 in that discussion because there's some dogs on both sides. But
now that Texas is relevant again, I think that really helps the Big 12. You know what I mean? Tom Herman being there, Texas is in the top 25 already. Preseason, anyways. And then you've got OU and Oklahoma State.
That's true.
Both hovering around the top 10 as well. So
the magic
both
mullet.
In the top 10. Excuse
the
me.
Magic mullet, and he's 50.
Yeah. So I think the ACC, when you look at, you know, they've got Louisville and a few others, Miami creeping up there. So I get it, but I still think overall the Big Ten should be number one on that list. But
I don't disagree, but I was trying to not be a homer.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Wisconsin's number 9. All right, so another good show in the books as we wrap this one up. We'll continue to bring it strong the rest of the week. We'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same channel, as we go Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here, The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Have a good night, everybody. I mean that body care. What about a body care?